Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you again this morning. I think it's been a year since we were here last, but always enjoy coming back and the fellowship that we have here. We just had Brad speaking at Tavistock last weekend, so when we saw him, it's like, oh, long time no see. And it's great to understand that you're celebrating Thanksgiving today, not only the weekend of Thanksgiving, but also celebrating the history of this assembly. So congratulations on a milestone such as that. I'd like to start this morning. My topic today is on Thanksgiving. So I'd like to start by reading an excerpt from a Canadian website, a website on Canadian history. Excuse me. This is from the website. Traditions of giving thanks long predate the arrival of European settlers in North America. First Nations across Turtle Island have traditions of thanksgiving for surviving winter and for receiving crops and game as a reward for their hard work. These traditions may include feasting, prayer, dance, and other ceremonies, depending on the people giving thanks. As for Thanksgiving from a European origin, in 1578, English explorer Martin Frobisher and his crew gave thanks and communion was observed, either on land at Frobisher Bay in present-day Nunavut or on board the ship in the harbor. The explorers dined on salt beef, biscuits, and mushy peas, and they gave thanks through communion for their safe arrival. This is now accepted as the first official Thanksgiving in Canada, 43 years before the very first American Thanksgiving. 48 years later, on November 14th, 1606, inhabitants of New France under Samuel de Champlain held huge feasts of Thanksgiving between the local Mi'kmaq people and the French. However, despite the history of these uniquely Canadian Thanksgivings, our modern concept of Thanksgiving was introduced more from our American neighbors. Foods that are associated with a traditional Thanksgiving, such as turkey, squash, and pumpkin, were introduced to citizens of Halifax in the 1750s by the United Empire Loyalists, who continued to spread this traditional fare to other parts of the country. Now, today we celebrate here in Canada Thanksgiving on the second Monday of October. So officially, it's next Monday, next week. And that has been the practice at least since Parliament said so or declared it to be so on January 31st, 1957. Parliament declares Thanksgiving officially as the following. Now, this is perhaps an older definition. I doubt our modern-day Parliament would hold this particular declaration, but this is the declaration: a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed. While this mandate for Thanksgiving may not be observed by all Canadians in its entirety, the ideas of being thankful, of spending time with family and sharing a delicious meal remain. And so we have that to look forward to today. I know you're celebrating Thanksgiving a week early as an assembly, and that's great to see. But is this all there is to being thankful? Do we only wait for once a year to express our thanksgiving for the many blessings that we receive? What about the other 364 days of the year? Were you thankful for the food you ate this morning? Were you thankful for the comfortable home that you can dwell in, and for the other resources that you have at your disposal? Those of us who are employed, are you thankful for your jobs? Are you thankful for your family, for your spouse, for your loved ones? Have you ever taken the time to list all the things that you are thankful for? If you were to do so, I suspect the list would include many of these things that I've already mentioned: our spouse, our family, our friends, our job, our home, the food that we have day by day. But what about the other things that we don't tend to appreciate? Do you ever express thankfulness for adversity, for hardship, for pain, for suffering, or loss? You know, our natural instinct is to be resentful or miserable or sorrowful or frustrated or depressed whenever hardship comes our way, or many other variety of feelings. And yet, even in the most difficult situations, we can be and should be thankful. But how? Does God really expect us to thank Him for the catastrophe that we're facing? Imagine all those folks down in Asheville, the whole city basically destroyed, their homes wiped out. Do you expect them to be thankful for the fact that they've lost everything? Well, God may not expect us to thank Him for the specific suffering that we're going through or the specific catastrophe we're facing, but we know that there's many things that we can be thankful for in those difficult situations. And to help us understand why it's important to be thankful and to have a spirit of gratitude in all things, we're going to take a look at a number of passages and references to thankfulness in the Scriptures, and the people who have been thankful even in the face of trauma and tribulation. And we'll begin by turning to Leviticus chapter 7 to start. Excuse me. Leviticus chapter 7 deals with, or these first few chapters in Leviticus deal with the offerings and the laws concerning the offerings. Chapters 6 and 7 preceding this discuss the laws of offerings that took place in chapters 1 through 5. And we're going to begin at verse 11 in chapter 7, where we read about the law of the sacrifice of peace offering. It's the first time in the Scriptures where the thought of thanksgiving is made, but thanksgiving is mentioned often thereafter. So beginning at verse 11 of Leviticus chapter 7. "And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers mingled, anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priests that sprinkle the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire." Now, the sacrifice we're reading of here was not like the burnt offering, which was completely burnt on the altar. It was different from the sin offering, where the meat was given to the priest. Instead, most of the meat of the sacrifice of thanksgiving was returned to the person who was bringing the sacrifice. The fat was burned on the altar, the blood was poured out on the altar or around the altar, but the person who made the sacrifice shared the meat with the officiating priest. This offering also had three different aspects to it, depending on the motive or the purpose of the offering. The first one we see in verse 12 was an offering of thanksgiving, praising God for some special blessing, reflecting upon what God had done for them, and they want to offer up thanksgiving. The second aspect was whether or not it was a votive offering or a vow. We see in verse 16, it says, "If the sacrifice of his offering be a vow." This was perhaps to fulfill a special pledge or promise made to God for granting some special request in prayer. For example, protection from a hazardous journey or something. And thirdly, there was the voluntary or free will offering, also mentioned in verse 16. And this would be appear in the nature of a spontaneous expression of thanksgiving and praise to God and appreciation for what he's revealed himself to be. The peace offering itself was a sacrificial animal, male or female, but it was accompanied by certain cakes or breads. The cakes that were required with a thank offering are listed in verses 12 and 13. The person bringing the offering was to bring one of them to the priest as a heave offering, and this was given to the priest. The flesh of the thanksgiving offering was to be eaten the same day, whereas the votive offering or the freewill offering could be eaten also on the second day. But after that, anything that was remaining was to be burned. The suggestion has been made that this implies that our fellowship with our Heavenly Father is not far removed from the altar. That is, we must first have peace made with the Father, and then we will have fellowship following closely behind. And that's made most clear to us at the time of our salvation. Christ is our peace offering. And when we receive him as Savior, then we have peace with God, and we have fellowship with our Heavenly Father. And that, of course, is something that we indeed can be and should be thankful for. But when we neglect spending time in the Word, or if we skip fellowship with other believers, or we avoid listening to biblical teaching, we tend to drift away in our fellowship with the Lord. And when that happens, we tend to take for granted all of the things that we enjoy as blessings from the Lord. We may be prone to lose sight of where our blessings come from, and that it is the Lord who is no longer in our thoughts. So it becomes impossible to bring sacrifices of thanksgiving because we fail to recognize all that we've been blessed with. And this is one reason why the breaking of bread service that we just had this morning is so important. It gives us a regular time to reflect on the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and all that God has accomplished in our salvation, our redemption, and the fellowship that we have in Christ with the Father. Notice that the third type of offering was described as a free will offering. It's not mandatory, but rather an offering that should spring forth voluntarily out of a heart filled with gratitude. Leviticus 22, verse 29 repeats this point where it says, "And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will." It's not supposed to be forced. It's not supposed to be done simply out of some sense of obligation, but rather from a desire to genuinely bless and please the Lord and to thank him for his blessings. The Lord delights to hear from his people. The Lord delights to hear us express our thankfulness and our gratitude for all he's done for us. Those of you here who are parents, I'm sure you will recall, if your kids are slightly older, the many times that you tried to instill in them the concept of giving thanks. It was often child asks for something and you hand them a treat or something like that, and then they turn and they start to run away and you're like, "Wait a minute, what do you say?" And you try to encourage them to remember, "Oh, thank you." Unfortunately, that method, that constant droning into them of the need to say thank you, might have a downside and instill in them that it's simply an obligation, that all they have to do is say, "Oh, thanks," and that's it. But our desire is that ultimately, as they mature, they will realize the importance of giving thanks and express it voluntarily out of their heart and not out of some sense of obligation that we've forced upon our children. Our Father is the same. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, longs to hear His children offer up our praise of thanksgiving to Him. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, if you want to turn there, we'll read a few verses. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. First Chronicles chapter 29, beginning at verse 6, we read of the people giving generously to the work of the Lord. Verse 6, then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 rams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own hand we have given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. Notice in verse 9 there it says, the people rejoiced for that they had offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Of course, as David recounted all that the Lord had done for him, his son Solomon, his people, and recognizing the power and might of the Lord in delivering his people from their enemies, it's easy to rejoice and give thanks. What's more difficult, of course, is thanking the Lord in the hard times, in the sad times. Yet we're instructed to do just that. A verse that might be familiar to many, or a passage rather familiar to many, is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. These three habits have been called the standing orders of the church. They represent the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and I. Christ Jesus revealed to us God's will concerning joy, prayer, and thanksgiving. And so giving thanks to God should be the Christian's natural reaction. If Romans 8:28 is true, then we should be able to praise the Lord at all times, in all circumstances, and for everything, as long as we're not excusing sin in our lives. And this includes both good and difficult times. But when we don't understand why God is allowing us to go through suffering and trials, we often allow our situation to quench a grateful spirit. Instead of rejoicing and praising God for who He is and what He's done for us, we focus on the pain that we're experiencing, on the hardship that we're going through, and perhaps we begin to doubt the Lord's love for us. We may doubt that the Lord knows what we're going through. And we can have an ungrateful heart welling up within. Even in the midst of pain or hardship, however, we can thank the Lord for our salvation, for His presence in our lives, for His indwelling Holy Spirit. Every believer has the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And we can thank Him for the work that He has done and is doing and will do in our lives. When we choose to be thankful in every situation, despite our feelings, there are many benefits that we stand to reap. It'll help maintain that joy of our salvation. It'll bolster the peace of God in our hearts. It'll help us to trust Him in every situation, in spite of whatever pain or difficulty we may be experiencing. And it will encourage us to come alongside someone else who is going through a similar situation. Sometimes when we face trials and tribulations and we don't understand why, and yet later on we come alongside, we meet someone else who's going through that same situation, and we can identify with them and we can comfort them in that time of difficulty. Another passage that speaks about gratitude in the believer's life is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, that doesn't mean we have to thank God for things that are going on that are contrary to His will in our lives. But we do need to recognize that God does allow some of these difficult things in our lives. And so we need to recognize that. We can still thank Him for whatever He allows in our lives that is according to His will, because we know that He promises to work everything for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. Now, we won't always see the good immediately. We may not understand the purpose for why He is allowing us to go through difficult times. We may not even understand that in our lifetime. It may not be until eternity when we begin to recognize why the Lord allowed that to happen in our lives. And then it will all, of course, make sense. Until then, our gratitude demonstrates that we are trusting in the Lord. Now, why should we be grateful to God in everything? There's a number of benefits that we stand to enjoy. First, it keeps us continually aware that we are walking in His presence, which contributes to a godly life. As believers, we never walk alone because the Holy Spirit lives within. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. We may feel alone if we're going through hardship. We again may feel like God has turned His back on us, but nothing could be further from the truth. Remember that Jesus spoke of the Spirit being a comforter who would come after He returned to His Father. Excuse me. And that Spirit was given to every believer. John, in his Gospel, chapter 7, verse 38, writes, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, "He that believes on Me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this He spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." And then in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, we read, "In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." And so gratitude reminds us of his presence and motivates us to respond in a godly manner by encouraging us to view our pain and our trouble from his perspective. You know, we get into trouble when we see the pain and difficulty from our own perspective, and we need to have the perspective of our Heavenly Father. Excuse me. So no matter what happens throughout your day, we can thank him, knowing that our loving, omnipotent, and omniscient Father is helping us walk through it. After all, he has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us, Hebrews 13:5. Another benefit is that gratitude motivates us to look for the Lord's purpose in everything that happens. Unexpected trials or suffering may cause us to question God. We may look to him and say, "Why? Why am I going through this difficulty?" Again, it may cause us to feel like we've been forgotten or that God's not aware of what we're going through. But he's promised again to bring good from even our worst experiences. Whether we understand it or not, we can trust in our Lord and Father and thank him for the good he's promised to produce in our lives or in the lives of others as a result of the difficulty that we're going through. It doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy, but we need to be on the lookout for potential blessing to come. And again, that blessing may not come directly to us. Maybe it's a blessing that the Lord wants to achieve in someone else's life through us. And so it's something that we have to go through, a difficulty that we have been chosen to go through for the benefit of someone else. Thirdly, being grateful brings us into submission to God's will when we're suffering pain and heartache. In the midst of emotional or physical pain, we may not feel grateful to God, but that's just when we need to express it. As we keep thanking him, eventually our feelings will begin to match our words. We may not feel like thanking God for the pain we're going through, but there's always something else we can look back on and give God thanks for. We're blessed in so many ways. We've been saved by the grace of God through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We have an eternal home waiting for us in glory. We have the expectancy that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming very soon, and we shall be with him for all eternity. On top of that, we here in Canada have many physical blessings that we enjoy. We truly are rich in many resources here in Canada. Many around the world suffer great need, and yet we here in Canada and the United States, we throw away and waste more in 1 year than many people in other parts of the world will ever possess in their lifetime. And that's precisely why we need to pause and give God thanks for all that we have been blessed with and not take these things for granted. We don't want to be overcome with bitterness or sorrow in our times of difficulty. Also, being thankful reminds us of our continual dependence on the Lord. He despises a spirit of independence that denies our need of him and leads to ungratefulness. We read in Psalm 10, verse 4, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God, and God is not in all his thoughts." And in Proverbs 8:13, we read, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride arrogance, the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate. You see, in reality, we're all very dependent on God for the very breath we take each moment, though we may not realize it. And when we face a situation in which we're powerless to overcome, it should drive us to our knees in dependence upon God. Adversity tends to reveal our weakness and drives us to the Lord. A mature believer lives in absolute dependence on the Lord day by day and rejoices with a grateful heart and a trusting spirit. David demonstrated a grateful heart and a dependent spirit for most of his life. He trusted that God would help him in his battle against Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37, we read, this is David saying, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will save me from the hand of this Philistine." And then Daniel and his friends were dependent upon God in their captivity. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up.'" And then when Daniel was interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream, in chapter 2, verse 17, we read, "Then Daniel went to his home and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, of the matter. He asked them to pray for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends would not be destroyed along with the rest of the wise men of Babylon." Now, these are examples where David and Daniel, in these verses, were dependent upon God and called out to God for his help in their difficult circumstances. And there are, of course, many individuals in the scripture who demonstrated dependence on the Lord throughout their lives. And when we realize how dependent we are on God for everything, we will well up with gratefulness and praise. Another benefit, gratefulness helps us trust the Lord when we don't understand why. Although God hasn't promised to explain why we are going through pain or hardship, he has promised to be with us and to enable us to face it. And thanksgiving reminds us that we don't have to understand the situation. We just have to be obedient in the process. And a classic example of that is Job. Job lost everything except his own life and his wife. We read in Job chapter 1, verse 20, "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped." He didn't fall on the ground and sob. He fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. You see, Job was able to bless the Lord even in the midst of tremendous pain and loss. He trusted in the Lord's doing even without understanding why it was happening. Another example we find in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." So here in that example, in the face of abject catastrophe and hardship and famine, the prophet was prepared to trust God. He realized that inner peace did not depend on outward prosperity. Thanksgiving is essential also for rejoicing in the midst of our suffering. There's no way we can rejoice always without giving thanks in everything. Although the pain can be so intense that we can't feel joy in the moment, we can choose to express gratitude with our lips until it becomes a reality in our hearts. God hears and understands the depth of our agony, just as he understood the agony of his own son on the cross when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" There's someone else in the scriptures who knew what it was like to suffer. He was separated from friends. He was beaten. He was unjustly accused. If anyone had a right to complain, it was certainly this man, suffering in a harsh Roman prison. But instead of complaints, his lips rang out with praise and worship and thanksgiving. I'm speaking, of course, of the Apostle Paul, someone who learned the meaning of true thankfulness amid great hardship. Earlier, when he'd been imprisoned in Rome, Paul exhorted the saints in Ephesus to be singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 5:19-20. Think of it, giving thanks always in all things, no matter the circumstances. Thanksgiving for the Apostle Paul was not a once-a-year celebration, but a daily reality that changed his life and the life of so many around him. It allowed him to be a joyful person in every situation. The giving of thanks to God for all his blessings should be one of the most distinctive characteristics of every believer. We can't allow a spirit of ungratefulness to harden our hearts and to chill our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Nothing turns us into bitter, selfish, or dissatisfied people more quickly than an ungrateful heart. And nothing will do more to restore contentment and the joy of our salvation than a true spirit of thankfulness. Thankfulness also displaces anxiety with peace. When we thank the Lord in the midst of sorrow, loss, and heartache, we're drawn to him and his peace fills us, causing our anxieties to fade. The pain or difficulty that remain, of course, but will be changed inside. This kind of peace is only available to those who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Although anxiety may come in a moment, in the midst of a trial, we don't have to live in that state. If we keep praying and giving thanks to God, his peace will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6-7. And thanksgiving also focuses our attention on God rather than our own circumstances. If we focus our eyes on the difficulty, then it may become unbearable. Peace may escape us, and the situation may appear hopeless. But thanksgiving shifts our focus to the Lord and reminds us of those things that we know for certain. We are not alone, for God is with us. He loves us, we're eternally secure, and he will bring us through. God will turn whatever experience you're going through, no matter how hard it may be, into something profitable in our lives. And gratitude energizes us physically, emotionally, and spiritually in those difficult times. Pain, trouble, and disappointment can drain us. But trusting God, focusing on him, and thanking him refresh us. It's his presence within us that strengthens us physically, spiritually, and emotionally so that we can keep going when times are tough. Here in Canada, as in many countries, A special day is set aside each year for thanksgiving. But for the Christian, every day can and should be a day of thanksgiving, as we should always be giving thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our gracious God and Father, we do indeed come before thy presence with grateful hearts for the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, for that wonderful work of redemption that he achieved through Calvary. We thank you for your great love, for your great mercy, for your grace made evident day by day. We thank you for the great provision that we enjoy here in Canada. We have such an abundance. We have homes to dwell in, clothes upon our backs, food on our table. So, Father, we do give thee thanks for all these things. We are also grateful for our assembly of believers, for the assembly here at Faith. We give thee thanks for each believer here, for each family represented. And I pray that you would bless them as they celebrate this anniversary of this assembly building. And Father, as we consider the day of Thanksgiving as a country coming up in another week, we have an opportunity today to celebrate together and to enjoy the fellowship we have one with another in Christ. And so for this, we also give thee thanks. And so we commit our time to thee, Father. We pray for your blessing upon each one. We pray for traveling mercies that when we depart from this place, that you would bring us to our homes in safety. And so we offer up our praise and our worship and our thanksgiving in the name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.